God for the good presence of the Lord this morning. If you got your Bible, let's open up to the book of Genesis, chapter number 45. The book of Genesis, chapter 45. It is good to be saved. I appreciate everybody that's come out this way, and you pray for us. I don't want to mess this up. I feel the Lord's helping us, and He's been helping us all day. And when it comes to preaching, I tell folks sometimes, all you got to do, you're just the server. The Lord makes it. All you got to do is deliver it. Just don't put your fingers in it. Don't spill it. Don't do nothing to mess it up. And I don't want to do that today. I really want to mind the Lord. I really want to do what the Lord would have us to do. And you pray God help us, all right? And the Lord give us a text of Scripture. And I preached on this out at Mount Helan. And as far as I know, and as many years as I've been preaching, it's only happened to me this one time that whenever I was studying for it, the Lord gave me a text of Scripture and told me I'd preach it in two places. And one of them was at Mount Helan and the other one was here. And I've been looking forward to preach it ever since then. I know some of you already heard it and it was worth hearing then. You'll hear it again sometime. You help us, God. You just get in there and help the Lord bless it, all right? Bible says in Genesis chapter 45, we'll start reading in verse 25. He said, and they went up out of Egypt. And this is speaking about, of course, all of these. So let me just bring you to speed. Joseph, he is down there in Egypt. He's no longer in Potiphar's house. He's no longer in the prison. But now he is over the place. And he sent them back to get his dad. Bible said, verse 25, said, when they went up out of Egypt and came unto the land of Canaan, unto Jacob their father, said, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. He is the governor over all the land of Egypt. It said, and Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, and the spirit of Jacob their father revived. The Bible said in verse 28, he said, and Israel said, it is enough. Well, I got the next part. He said, Joseph, my son is yet alive. I'll go see him before I die. Go ahead and sit down. Sit down, thank God. I'm saying this, you come to this passage of Scripture, and what you understand is that for the last 13 years, as old Jacob has thought, I don't know if I can or not tonight. You pray, Lord, help us. But I'm going to say this, for the last 13 years, Jacob's been real low, and he thought his boy Joseph has been dead. He thought that a lion had torn him in pieces, and for the last 13 years, oh, Jacob has been in a state of mourning. But thank God, surprise, 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 Joseph was not dead. Amen. I'm going to say this, friend, what a blessing it is when some of you realize that Jesus Christ is no longer dead, but seated at the right hand of the Father where He ever lives to make intercession for you and I. Amen. I want you to hear me today, friend. How you come to this passion? I like Joseph, probably one of my favorite characters in all the Bible. But thank God, God obviously loves Joseph. And no better type of Christ in all your Bible than Joseph. But I'm telling you, thank God. And when it comes to Jacob, I can relate to Jacob a little more. And I can relate to Joseph. Oh, Joseph never had no sin. Had never done anything wrong. And thank God, even when he was mistreated, he was always doing the will of God. And now old Jacob, he was a deceiver. He was a trickster. He was caught up in sin and was messed up more times than he got it right. And at the end of Jacob's life, he only had one thing to claim. It was the grace of God. And it reached where he was and pulled him up out of that pit. It wasn't because he done anything right. It was because there was a God in heaven that loved him in the
shape he was in. Amen. Oh, listen, old Jacob sitting up there. And I got to thinking about several things that's happening in Jacob's life right here. I don't want to get too far ahead, but I want to say just a few things. And when you start looking at Jacob's life here, and what you would find out about it, is that Jacob is living in the time of a famine. It's not time of feasting. It's time of famine right here. Thank God, let me say this. And there's nothing wrong. It's going to be some times in our life, and we're just going to go through some famines. Amen. But thank God, I've got good news. I know the one who owns the storehouses. Amen. I mean, listen, friend. He's in that place where he's in famine, and it's in a mighty dry time. And thank God, if there's ever a time in America, I was talking with a fella the other day about revival. He said, Brother Kevin, it's too dry to have revival in our day. And Brother John, I said, I can't think of a better time for there to be revival. Amen. It won't take much fire for that thing to spread out. Amen. I just need a little fire and not wildfire, thank God. And we need the real thing. Amen. And we need the power and the presence of God to come down to where we're at and help us. Amen. Oh, listen, let me say, and Jacob was in a time of famine, but Jacob was also in a time of fears. He's sitting up there and he's got Benjamin. And they just said, if you don't bring sin Benjamin down, you're not going to see our face. And he's worried about that boy. He's worried that God's going to, maybe something else will happen bad to him. And I thought, listen, he's not just struggling with famine, but he's struggling with fears. Amen. Let me say this to you. Hear me, friend. There's no doubt in my mind all across this room this morning, and there's folks and they're struggling with some fears in their life. And boy, oh, Jacob's sitting up there and worried to death about what's going to happen in this place and to his family. I thought he's struggling with famine. He's struggling with fears. If you turn back there a few chapters, you'd find out. I believe that old Jacob is struggling with all of his previous failures. If he'd have been a better dad, amen. It's untelling what would have happened to his boy Joseph. He's probably looking out there and thinking, man, if I'd have made a better decision here, if I'd have said this a little better there, if I'd have just went after my boy, maybe he wouldn't have ended up down where he was. But now listen to me, and I want everybody to hear me. I want you to listen. You can tune me out in just a second and go back to sleep, thank God, and whatever it is you're doing. But I want to say this to you. Oh, Jacob's on this side, and he's feeling like a failure. He's feeling like he's let God down. He feels like he let his wife down. He feels like he let his boy down. But on the other side, Brother Delmer, there's a God taking what he thought was his failure, and he said, I'm going to make this the biggest success that the world's ever seen. Amen. Ain't that just like God? Just about the time we look out there and say, man, there's no way. There's no way. There's no way. I've done messed up too many times. I've done messed up too bad. It's done went too far. But I'm going to tell you, thank God, that's when the Lord Jesus Christ shines the brightest. And so when he can reach down, and my friend grabs somebody's life, and then all it is full of famine, and full of failures, full of fears, and then God comes down. And boy, when God gets to doing something, and nobody else can take credit for it, and we just got to step back and say, man, that was God, amen. And that was God, amen. I'm saying this to you, friend. If the Holy Ghost bids you, you come pray. And if he don't, you just listen and help. I'm telling you, old Jacob's in that place where he's a feeling like that he's made the awfulest mistake. But thank God, ain't it a blessing standing where we're standing at? To see that God, David, to see that God can take our failures, our shortcomings, our misgivings. God can take our mistakes and our weaknesses. And by the time he's done with it, all glory goes to God. Amen. God done something. And so that when we stop, our hands might be put on our mouth, every mouth might be stopped, and glory might be to Christ. Amen. Yeah. Oh, yes, listen. I'm saying this. He's in a place where he's struggling with famines and fears. He's struggling with failures. But then I want to say this to you. He's also struggling with his faith. I mean, now that's something we don't maybe preach about. Too much in the Baptist church. Everybody in here is full of faith, I know. Ain't never doubted God to do anything. I thank God you believe he's always going to do it. I showed up always at the right time. But I want to tell you something, friend. That brother Bill O. Jacob wasn't that way. And Jacob was sitting there and they brought up an eyewitness account and they said Joseph is alive. And the chase in the Bible reads this and said Jacob had believed them not. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God that Jacob was in that place in his life and where he was even struggling with believing. Amen. But despite, thank God, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and I say it all the time in this church, even if we believe not, look up here, good neighbor, even if we believe not, and yet he abideth faithful, for he cannot deny himself. I had a lady send me a message the other day, and she said, no sign of the rapture, and no sign of Christ. I said, looks like devil's ruling the world. Where's Jesus at? I said, honey, just wait, and just a little while, and he that shall come, he will come, and he will not tarry. And thank God, I'm telling you, friend, and the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but long-suffering to us, what? And not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. And so old Jacob's up there now. He's in that place, thank God. He's in that place where he's sitting and waiting. And they said, Joseph is alive. And he said he didn't believe them. He said he did not believe what they said. But watch your Bibles here. Here's the message. It'll be a short one, but I'm going to preach. And what I feel like the Lord had me to. Watch the Bible. In verse 27, it says this. It says, and they told all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And boy, I like that next verse. It said, and when he saw the wagons, it said, which Joseph had sent to carry him, and the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And watch this, there's a name change. Happens in verse 28. It said, and Israel said, it is enough. It is enough. Oh, Jacob's sitting up there in that place. And the boy, I got thinking about, no doubt there's times we get in a spot where we need to hear from heaven and we need to hear from God. And listen, Miss Tammy, I was thinking about how many times in my own life has Selena been in that place about down, and maybe like Jacob was, dealing with failures and dealing with fears and faults and all of those things. And then Jonah, just out of nowhere, God gave me a handful of purpose. Amen. Oh, thank God. And boy, I'm telling you, they spent some times, and now you got to look for them sometimes, don't you, honey? But they sometimes have been in this thing and are not even hardly looking for it. And brother, sometimes God even lets me go and just gather in among the sheaves. Amen. And because he's a real good God, just like that. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God, it's real good. And when God gives us a handful. But I'm going to tell you this. I've been in this thing long enough, brother Nathaniel. And sometimes it's not even a handful that I've got. And sometimes I've been like that old widow woman. And thank God, I've reached my hand down in the barrel. And thank God, I keep pulling her up. And brother Mike, and it keeps coming up. And sometimes God will give you more than a handful. And sometimes what God will give you is a barrel full. Amen. And thank God, thank God. And anybody in here got one of them at home? Amen. I'm talking about a barrel full. That's a little deeper. Amen. Hey, you pull up a little bit more. Thank God. Hey, some nights in my life, and I think I've had a handful. And then these other times I've come to the house of God, and I felt like God gave me just a barrel full of it. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, that's not what happened with Jacob right here. He got more than a handful. He got more than a barrel full. Thank God, God sent him a wagon load. Amen. And what a blessing, what a blessing. And when God sends us a wagon full that way, I'm telling you, thank God I give you three wagons. And I thought happened in his life. Old Jacob, he's just down and out. He's about to die. He's about to give up. He's just dried out. His fear's about to consume him. He's sitting in that place where it seems like there's no more hope. And just ready to give up. And to throw in the towel. And the Bible said when he saw the wagons coming, amen. I thank God. You remember when that happened in your life? And you remember, thank God, what it was in your day. And when you was just about ready to be done. And then here come a wagon, amen. I thank God, thank God. I remember that first wagon I won't preach on. That's the old gospel wagon, amen. And you remember when you was down and out, thank God, on your way to hell rotting, and here come out of nowhere, and the gospel wagon came by. I'm telling you, there's more to this thing. There's more to this thing. And the gospel's so good, friend. I don't understand. I'm going to say this, you hear me well. I was talking with a person the other day, and I said it just like this. I said, the only proof I had that salvation was real, and that Christ was real, and that heaven was real, is that God changed my life, had changed my wife, had changed my home. If the only evidence I had for Christ had resided at 738 at Toomey Falls Road in Oneida, Tennessee, and that would be more than enough for me to say there has to be a God in heaven. Amen. Oh, here comes the gospel. I'm telling you, it's good news, friend. It's good news. Now, some folks, listen, you get down in that place where you're as low as he is, and then that gospel wagon comes by your way. And listen, you remember when you first heard it? I can still listen to me. There's a lot of things I can't remember today. But as a 7-year-old boy, when I got born again, by the grace of God, Brother Jerry, I can still remember the first time I ever got to sing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. I was blind, but now I see. I remember, thank God, when I got to sing that song, and I thought that was me, that was me. And then we got on the 5th verse of Amazing Grace, the unwritten verse, and for the first time, I got to raise up my hands and say, praise God, and praise God, and praise God, and praise God. And I wasn't just lifting up hands, and I wasn't just copying my neighbor, and I wasn't just doing what somebody else had done. And those hands was lifted up, and because I was praising God, at the gospel wagon that came passing by my way. Amen. Oh, yes. I remember what that was, thank God. And listen, they told me about Christ. They told me about his birth. They told me about his death. I've been learning that thing my whole life. But there was a day that wagon came by my way, and I said, that's enough, that's enough, that's enough. I don't need to hear no more. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Hey, you remember that if you're saved, you do. Amen. Hey, you remember when that gospel wagon came by your way? Hey, you threw up your arms of rebellion. I said, thank God, I surrender all. I come to Christ. Hey, you said, Brother Kevin, what he want of you? I'm going to tell you, on that night, it wouldn't have mattered what he wanted. I was willing to give him anything he asked for. I thank God. I said, whatever it was, all I knew was this. I didn't want to fear hell no more. I didn't want to worry about dying without God. I didn't want to end up in a Christless eternity. And when the gospel wagon passed by, I said, that's enough. I'm getting on board. Amen. Oh, yes. Listen, these folks, even sits in this church, and the gospel wagon passes by time and time again. Have the same wagon. They said, boy, they don't believe, do they? But I'm telling you, thank God, listen. You say, preacher, you really believe it'd change your life? I believe, thank God, if it didn't, it ain't real. Amen. I mean, thank God, I'll tell you, it'll make people do things they didn't normally do. Amen. I'll guarantee that's right. It'll change their path. It'll change everything about them. I thought about that gospel wagon. The Bible said it was wagons plural. I mean, listen, he must have been an independent Baptist. That couldn't get him stirred up too much, David. That took a lot, thank God. He doesn't seen God stir up too many. That's about, listen, I want y'all to listen to me. Y'all hear me real good. Thank God it's about ruined some of our churches where God's shown up so big, so long, and that we've gotten so used to it. And that, thank God that if God don't do something that's bigger the next time, it's almost an insult. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven. And listen, if he don't do nothing else for us, we ought to shout her down and worship the Lord and say, God, I'm all in. Amen. Oh, Jacob must have been independent Baptist. Here comes that wagon. One wagon wasn't enough. And listen, here comes another wagon. Here comes another one. Load it down. Amen. I'm talking about, thank God, loaded down. It's almost like there's a verse in the Bible talks about how he daily loadeth us with benefits. I mean, now listen. You can't see it behind me, but about everywhere I go, there's a tractor and trailer load full. Amen. You can't see it. You can't lay eyes on it. And they was teasing me the other night. They said, Brother Kevin, they said, you said the Red Sea wouldn't make your top 50. I changed it the other night, and I said, my top 10. And Kelsey said, you said in church top 50. I said, if I really got to thinking about it, it might not even crack my top 500. Amen. Of how good God really has been to me. Amen. When you stop and sit down, friend, and you start thinking about the goodness of God and the grace of God and that he's loaded you down with day after day after day. And now listen, I want Callie, hallelujah, I thank God, I hope tomorrow morning I wake up full of the Holy Ghost. I pray that it's oozing out my eyeballs and move down to my feet. But I'm telling you, if it ain't, and there's still a tractor trailer load and the grace of God that follows me everywhere I go. Amen. Yeah, that's right. Oh, yes. Amen. I got to thinking about this, what it said. Listen, I'm trying to mind the Lord the best I can. But it's inside, I'm telling you, it's a jumping up and down real hard. I'm saying this to you. The only thing he wanted, this is where the Lord really started goosing my heart the other day. That's not a Bible term, but that is what happens. I don't know how else to tell it to you. Have it, Brother Sam. I was sitting there and I was reading that Bible. And the only thing that Jacob wanted, Cliff, he said, go get us some corn. That's the only thing he asked for. At that time, Brother Hunter, that's the only thing he thought he needed. And Joseph was so good. And he said, oh, you want corn? He said, let me give you corn. And then I'm going to load you down some wagon fulls of everything else. Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm telling y'all, do whatever you want to with it. At 7 year old, thank God. I just didn't want to die and go to hell. Amen. That's what, now listen, you might have been spiritual. It might have got you somewhere else. The only thing I knew is I did not want to die and go to hell. I didn't want to experience the flames of hell. And I knew unless there was a God in heaven had done something for me, that's where I was going, amen. But oh, listen, he didn't just save me from hell, thank God. He didn't just write my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's been loading me down every single day. Amen. Just a squatting sometimes. Amen. The load's a little heavy. I get to thinking. And I'm honest with you. I got a little aggravated reading about Jacob. And I thought, Jacob, what in the world do you need? What do you need? I mean, you've got your boys come back. They said your boy's alive. Dad, that looks like that'd be enough to shout it out on. And he said he didn't even believe them. And then you get one wagon, and boy, that ain't good enough. Then you get another wagon, and then another wagon, and then another wagon. I thought, Jacob, how many wagons you need before you're going to say it's enough? I'm ready to get all in with God. And the Holy Ghost smote my heart. Said, how many do you need? How many do you need? How many wagons have you had to have sat around underneath that old tree of pouting, thank God, fold my arms up, give up, amen. How many of these times, thank God, we say, I'm going to do this on down my own way. I don't care what nobody else thinks. God, where you at? And God said, wait a second. Have you forgot less than 7, 8 short months ago, I saved your whole family? How many wagons you need? Amen. He's give us a few 80 rod. How many wagon? Listen. How many wagon? Rod, we sat right here one day. I was sitting with Rod. I wasn't sitting with Rod. I was sitting up there. And Miss E got up to stand up out of her seat. And I looked over at Rod. And this is what he goes. And she got up there. Nobody knew what was going to happen. Did we? We all thought, what's she going to do? She got up, said, oh, Lord, my God. Yeah. That's not how she said it.
That's right, preacher.
But that's how we heard it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what that was? That was a wagon load.
Yeah.
And sometimes, listen, I don't want to be jealous. I want everybody to get as much as they can. But I hope as long as we get to meet right here that there's a holy God that backs his wagon up right out there. And boy, time and time again. Boy, listen, I don't want to, Misty, I'm going to be honest with you. I ain't trying to make it weird for nobody, but I'm going to be honest. This preached all right down at Mount Healing. But when this little fellow got up on Sunday night and raised up that hand in heaven, hey, listen, God tore back the roof. I dropped out enough wagon loads that everybody in here got to leave with a tractor trailer full. I'm telling you, how much more does God have to do? For we say, that's enough. Man, it's enough. Whatever you want, Lord, whatever you want. I got to where, listen, I'm about done, I think, maybe. I don't know. And I'm going to tell you this. He loaded him up. I have to say this. When he loaded him up and he put them on 10 asses and sent them out his way. Listen, you have to be country. You wouldn't even get this, Brother Keith, otherwise. You know what's on the back of an old donkey? I thought, I reckon why God didn't put it on a camel. Why God didn't put it on a horse. But God chose to load up that grace on the back of a donkey. You know why? You know what's on the back of that donkey, don't you, David? Right on that back and right across them shoulders is that big black cross. And God reminded us one more time, if there's any grace that'll ever come our way, it'll come our way because of the cross. It'll come our way because of the cross. Amen. I'm saying this to you tonight. That boy, hadn't God been good to us? Amen. Now listen, Brother Kyle, here's what was getting in my heart though. I asked the Lord, and listen, they didn't get this down there. You get this in the night. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what about that old gospel train? Did that wagon stop down there in Egypt? And the Lord said, you better study your Bible. And I got to following the wagon tracks. Amen. And boy, I got to follow them wagon tracks all the way through the Bible. And I ended up in Acts chapter number 8. And with an old Ethiopian, and he's still in a wagon. Amen. And they call it a chariot in the New Testament. But it's a wagon. Amen. And he gets in that wagon, got him an old sheet. And what's that little piece of paper that he's got? That's not the old King James, but that's the Isaiah 53. Amen. He was wounded for our transgression. You know what that is? That's the gospel. Amen. That wagon's still passing by. Then I got to thinking about that grace wagon. Is it still passing by? Still coming our way? I got to read and followed those wagon tracks to 2 Kings chapter 5. And I found a fellow by the name of Naaman. Rode his wagon all the way down. And the teacher taught on it in Sunday school. If you want that, you'll have to come get it. Amen. I'm going to tell you this. You listen to me. Last wagon I thought just sitting there. He sees one wagon come by. Then another come by. And then finally,
At some point in time, Connor, there's a wagon comes by his way. And the Bible says what's in him revives. What's in him? What's in him? Something gets to. And he said, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. Boy, I'm telling you, I remember being in the house of God.
Amen.
Not being right with God. Boy, the preacher was preaching, that gospel wagon come by.
Boy.
And the song came by.
Yeah.
The testimonies came by. And at some point in time, I just said, boy, that's enough.
Yeah.
I've had about all I can stand.
Yeah.
About all I can stand.
Yeah.
I want to be right with God. I want to be right with God.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, dear friend, listen. He sent him down there and he said, look here. He said, you come on down. He'd give him three things. I'm done preaching, but I want to tell you this. When he finally said it was enough, Clark, he said, I want you to go get on my wagons, and I'm going to take you from where you are, and I'm going to bring you to where I am.
Yeah.
That's when it'll be enough.
Yeah.
When you don't have to take nothing. Don't have to worry about your journey. Things provided for, paid for, taken care of. Only thing you've got to do is get on board. I started thinking about this. I'm done. That wagon, it goes all the way out to the book of Song of Solomon. The king made him one out of not just any kind of wood. I want you to go read that sometime. Paved with love. Listen to me. I just got to thinking, I wonder how many wagons. We can have meeting this whole week. Come every night. Come cold, leave cold. I have little doubt in my mind. Brother McBride, Brother Lockhart do the best they can to follow the Lord. And God's going to take that wagon, and he's going to bring it right by your way. And there's going to be people that when it passes right by their way, they're going to look and they're going to say, that's not enough. That's not enough. That's not enough. But there's going to be some time it's going to pass right by somebody's way. And they're going to say, that's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough. That's what I needed.
Yeah.
That's what I was after. I just needed God to pass my way one more time. And if God would do it just one more time, well, I hope God will just pass by our church. I'm done preaching. Stand to your feet. I'm done. But I'm saying this to you, and I want you to listen. These folks I'm praying for, that I ain't just waiting for the next time. I want God to do something this time. I want that wagon. Boy, and if God's passed by your way, listen, you come play us something, honey.